Good morning.
Morning.
Good to have you all here. Several of our folks have been working on our nurseries, and they painted the walls, and they look great, and we're going to put new flooring in, and it's just going to look beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
We're also going to have the halls painted, all of the hallways painted. Now, that's an expense that churches incur from time to time when we clean things up, make things look better. Amen?
Amen.
We have a young man who said he would be glad to do it for us, and he does not want to be paid. Thank the Lord for that. Amen?
Yep.
However, it's been recommended to me that we take a love offering for this young man. He's out of a job, doesn't have a job right now. And so I thought it'd be good if we would do that. Take a love offering two Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday, and let's do that at the end of the service. So that'll give you time to think about it and give you men time to get to your pocketbooks. And we'll be able to help him that way. And it'll be a blessing to him. And it's always a blessing to give, is it not? Paul said that to those Ephesians believers before he left the church. He said, let's remember the saying of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. So let's do that. Let's be gracious to this young man. By the way, it's good morning. Good to have you two with us visiting. And please come back when you have a chance. I thought Eddie was trying to push her down. I don't know it. So let's do that at the end of the service, okay? And that way we will be able to be a blessing to him. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, and it's kind of a starting point for this message today. And I want to talk to you this morning about something that churches believe, but it isn't practiced the way I think that it needs to be practiced. I believe in missions. Let me say that again. I believe in missions.
Amen.
The New Testament is a book about missions. The book of Acts is a book in the New Testament that is completely missional. It's all about missions. The first great missionary was the Apostle Paul. But if we back up to God's plan for redemption, we go all the way back before creation, where a sovereign God planned the redemption of mankind. We spring forward now 4,000 or 5,000 years to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1. We find the Son of God, Jesus Christ, coming into the world, born of a virgin, very God, very man, for a purpose. And his purpose was missional. The New Testament is a missional New Testament. The coming of Christ was missional. He came, he said, very carefully listen, to seek and to save that which is lost. That, in a nutshell, is missions. Christ lived and taught missions. Before he died and ascended into heaven, Christ laid down his plan for missions. And we've all probably read the plan. And it's found in the last few verses or chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in the first chapter of Acts, just before he ascended. Christ had a plan for missions. In Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20, we must read verse 18 for the context, says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," this is his disciples, the apostles of the early church, those that would be responsible to carry out his missional statement. And here's the first statement he makes about missions, found in the New Testament, and it's in this chapter. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the age," or until time stops. That's a missional statement. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to look this morning at five missional statements that Christ made. And we're also going to see how he decided to incorporate that into the body in order for it to work. An idea is only as good as it is worked. Let me say that again. An idea is only as good as it is worked. If we have an idea that a church is to be missional, then that missional program will only be as good as it is worked, all God's people said. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that there's an agency. There's an agency to missions work. For missions, it's the local church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "You're a small rock, but upon a large rock," referring to himself, Christ was talking, "I will build my church." So you could say that the purpose of God's work in the lives of believers is to build his church. Amen? None of you are here by happenstance. God leads, God directs, God calls, God saves those that he wants in his church, and systematically, by his will, Christ builds the church. Pastor Saunders does not build the church. The board does not build the church. Christ builds the church. And he brings into the church those that he wants in the church. In every area of a state like Virginia or a nation like America, there are individual local New Testament churches. They have been set aside by God Almighty as the agency to carry out the responsibility of missions in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. So you're here, if you're here today, and God directs you and God moves in your life, it's because he wants you to be inserted into a body so that you might serve that body with the goal of reaching others for Christ and building his church. It's all of God. Amen?
Amen.
The agency then is that which God is building, and it's called the local church. His is the building, ours is the sending. Think of that. His is the building of the church, ours is the sending out into the world. Let me say this again. His is the building, ours is the commissioning. A commissioning is a statement made by the church that says, we believe God has called so-and-so to serve God, and we are setting them apart by God's grace to go and serve in a field somewhere beyond the region of the local church. His is the building, ours is the sending. His is the building, ours is the commissioning. His is the building, ours is the supplying. They can't go overseas or go around the world without the finances to do so. Amen?
Amen.
It's the church's responsibility. Now I know in the Southern Baptist Convention that there is a cooperative program that each church should give to, or is asked to give to. That's a better phrase. And the more you give, the more they can do. Amen? Now, unlike some where each church sends out a missionary, or others where several missionaries are sent out by the help of a church and other churches, the Southern Baptists are unique. You support them through the cooperative program, and they send the missionaries. They have thousands of missionaries. You may not know this. The cost to support the Southern Baptist Convention in its official capacity, that means the officers, the people that are in charge, the presidents of certain things, is $6 million a year. All God's people said. Wowee. The Southern Baptists last year took in $365 million. 90% of it goes to missions. Think of that. Just wrap your mind around that for a moment. That is sending thousands of people around the world, financially stable, capable now of handling the work of missions. It's incredible what God is doing through the Southern Baptist Convention's missions program. I don't know if you know this. The president of the missions program for the Southern Baptist lives right here in Richmond. His name is David Pratt. Not only does he live here, but the Southern Baptist Convention Foreign Mission Society is right over here on Monument Avenue. It's right there. And so we have a program. Amen?
Amen.
Now the involvement in the program is to be by each independent, organized, local New Testament church. So what we do here should not be based upon how much they get or how many are participating. It should be based upon God's standard for missions. And His standard is given to us in the first four Gospels and the book of Acts. Let me give them to you very quickly. The agency is the local church. The plan is fivefold. Number one, we just read it in Matthew 28:19-20. It's the authority for missions. Before ever there was a missionary sent, Christ was a missionary. In fact, David Livingston made this observation about God. He said, God had only one son, and he was a missionary. David Livingston was a great missionary to Africa and was an incredible man of faith. And he recognized that he would not have gone had there not been an impetus to go Had there not been something that he could follow, a testimony or a talent, and he saw in Christ this missionary desire. The authority comes from Christ. It's a mediatorial authority. It's a universal authority. It's a redemptive authority. It's a equipping authority. All of this comes from Christ. Amen?
Amen?
You don't go unless you're equipped properly. You're equipped by the Lord Jesus Christ because he has all authority to do so. It says in some translations, all power. But the word is actually authority. It means something that has been given to him that substantiates his right to say and do as he wills. It's authority. From God to Christ, through Christ to those of us that call ourselves believers. And so he, by his authority, will universally apply that to every believer in life. He will redemptively apply that to those that we reach with the gospel. And equippingly, he will apply that to every individual that calls him their Savior. His is the authority for missions. If we don't see who's in charge, we're never going to get it done. Amen?
Amen.
Too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And so Christ is the authority. He sets down the authority for the local New Testament church. That's us. And he says to us, go! So the authority for missions is very simple. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, turn with me over to the book of Mark. So at the end of Matthew, Christ's focus is missions. Mark chapter 16. End of Matthew, Christ's focus, missions. End of Mark, look at verses 15 and following of chapter 16. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, all God's people said.
Amen.
If Matthew chapter 28 is the authority for missions, Mark chapter 16, the last few words that Christ said to his disciples before he ascended was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the scope of missions. Pastor, what are you saying? What's the scope of missions? Preach the gospel to every creature. The scope is worldwide. Let me ask you a question. Will we ever run out of opportunity? No. It is our responsibility. If you're sitting in this church and you haven't connected yet, your responsibility to missions, you've missed the mark. It's not just for us to care here. We are to care here. And you do a great job of it. But we're to care there also. Paul was on one of his missionary journeys and he stopped for a while and was resting and staying at a home of a friend. And he had a vision in the night. It was a man in Macedonia, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And the man was crying out, come to Macedonia and help us. And Paul went. And several churches were established by the grace of God. Well, you say, I'm not Paul. I can't go. But you can send. Ours is the sending agency. Ours is the supporting agency, all God's people said.
Amen.
We can send them. We can support them. And that's by giving, folks. And so ours is the agency that God chose to use and then gave the authority for them to do it, and now has said to us, here's the scope. Think of this message to 12 disciples, average men like you and me. And he says to them, go ye into all the world. The known world at the time was the Roman world. Thousands of miles long, hundreds of miles wide. And he said, there is your mission field. Get it done. 12 men. Do you know what? And those 12 men in their lifetimes reached the known world. Let me say that again. Those 12 men in their lifetime reached the known world. We are surrounded, listen very carefully, by an ocean of lostness. Unreached people groups. Unreached people groups in the world. 4,000 plus. 4,000 plus people groups. If you want to know the number, it's 4.64 billion. 7 billion in the world. Nearly two-thirds of the world has never, ever heard the gospel. Has never, ever heard about Jesus Christ. Has no local church. Many have no Bible printed in their language. The church, the agency, has the responsibility to reach the world, and we've missed two-thirds of them. The scope is enormous. 4.64 billion. We have a job to do. An incredible job to do. Jesus talking to the disciples, he said, here's the authority. Again, he says to them before he ascends, here's the scope. Turn to the book of Luke, please. Luke 24. In verse 46 and 47, again, this is just prior to his ascension. What I'm trying to make you see is what was the last thing on the mind of Christ? What was the last thing on his heart? What would you say if you had just a few words to say? What's the most important thing you would cover? What topic would you talk about? Jesus said, missions. Verse 20. Chapter 24 and verses 46 and 47, he said unto them, his disciples, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Why? And that, listen, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's missions. What are you saying, Pastor? Jesus spoke to them about the message of missions. What's the message? Redemption and remission of sins, all God's people said. The world had never heard that up until this time. The Jews were under the law, bound by the law, unable to see. They did not fully recognize what was going to happen eventually. So they practiced a religion that covered their sins from year to year to year to year. And they kept having to have a covering. But Jesus came and did away with this covering. And he propitiated or paid an atonement that would cover all of man's sins forever. And so missions says we must get the message to the Jewish people that it now can be found in them, a forgiveness that lasts forever. It's called remission of sins and redemption. The Gentiles or Greek believers were no different, only their religion was of many gods. These were hard taskmasters. They required incredible, often wicked things in order to be worshipped. And they were stuck in a worship that did nothing for them. Christ said, go to them and preach redemption and remission of sins. The message of mission is redemption and remission of sins, all God's people said. Amen. Folks, are you getting this yet? Jesus left a big message, and he left it at the end of his life. And he focused on one thing, missions. Missions isn't an addendum to what we do. Missions is what we do. You could put a sign over that back door that said you are now entering the mission field when you walk out those doors. Missions. Missions. Missions, Jesus said. Turn to John 15. I know you're going to say, but John has 21 chapters, you're only in 15. This doesn't seem to be to the end of his ministry. Oh, yes, it was. Chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 happened in a little more than 3 days. All of it. Actually, from chapter 13, a little more than 3 days. John 15, verse 16, he says to his disciples, you have not chosen me. By the way, you don't get saved because you decide that you're going to choose Jesus. You get saved because Jesus chooses you. He does that through his calling agency, the Holy Spirit, who brings conviction to your life and says to you, you need Christ. The only decision you have is to listen or not. If you choose to reject Christ and his atoning work on the cross, you choose against him. John 15, 16, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That's every believer is ordained by God for a purpose. Here's the purpose. That ye should go and bring forth fruit. How many are included in that responsibility? How many? All of us. That ye should go and bring forth fruit. And here's the key. That your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Here's the key. The goal of missions is fruit that remains. Listen to me very carefully. Success in this endeavor, missions, is not how many, but what kind. Let me say it again. Missions is not about how many, but what kind. For years, churches have said, we won this many, we won that many. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But God says the key to the goal of missions is not how many, but what kind. Well, he says here, fruit that remains. Amen? That's fruit that stays in the church. That's fruit that grows in the church. That's fruit that looks and acts and talks like a Christian, that walks around the world and says, I have something good to report. Jesus still saves. That's what the church is to be built of. In fact, it includes several things. Having fruit that remains means more than just simply telling them about Jesus. It's, according to Matthew 28:19-20, it's bringing them to understand the need for baptism. It's teaching them to observe all things. It's instruction. It's seeing them established. It's seeing them growing. In fact, there are just four things. Write these down. When we say fruit that remains, we mean they remain in the Word of God. That becomes their text for life. They remain in the Word of God. That becomes their text for life. Number two, they decide for the local church. That is, they establish themselves in a local New Testament church. They get in, they join, they grow, they encourage. Amen? Number three, then they become ardent fellowshippers. I like that word, fellowship. Amen? That is, we get together. We talk about the Lord. We're fellowshipping now. Amen? And it's not having a hamburger together. I mean, I don't care if you have a hamburger together. That's fine. But it's more than having a hamburger together. If you're going to have a hamburger together, then spend time saying, you know what? I was just thinking about so-and-so, my neighbor. They need Jesus. Would you pray with me? Then they get so motivated in the local church, these new believers. They're growing, they're fellowshipping, they're members of the church, that they say, what can I do? What can I do in the church? What can I do? What part can I play? How can I get involved? It's called ministry. And that's the goal. That's the goal of God in your life, and the goal of every church ought to be in the lives of every believer, that they finally get to the place where ministry is binding them. They're not just here sitting, they're serving. Amen? Let me say this. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. Now listen to this next phrase, because it's tied to that. The closer I get to Him, the more intensely missionary I become. And you have to write that down. You have to read that over and over again. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. We often hear said, I have the Spirit of Christ in me. And that can mean two things. Number one, that they are indwelt by the Spirit of God. We know that. But it can also mean or represent a statement of commitment. I want to be more like Him. I want to do what He does. I want to act like He acts. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The closer I get to Him, the more intensely missionary I will become. Now, coupled with that, I wrote another statement. Listen to this. Missions doesn't begin with what we do. Missions begins with what we are. We are to be like Christ. If you are not like Christ, you will not be passionate about missions. Period. You can't make it any other way. You can sing, be like Jesus is my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long, I would be like Jesus. We can sing that, but folks, if we don't do it, it's just simply words on a page. Then turn with me to the book of Acts. Now, this is the first chapter of Acts, but it's the last thing Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended. Verse 9 and 10, he ascends. In verse 8, he gives them his last message. It's a statement of missions. Matthew, missions, last statement. Mark, missions, last statement. Luke, missions, last statement. John, mission, last statement. Acts, missions, last statement. What do you think was important to him? Missions. But ye shall receive power, Jesus says to his disciples. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Chesterfield, in Virginia, in America, and the uttermost part of the world. When it says both in, that little two words, both in, it means at the same time. At the same time you're being a witness here through the ministry of the local church, you're also to have a witness to the state, and you're also to have a witness to America, and you're also to have a witness to the world at the same time. How are we doing? Missions. That, you could write, is the power of missions. Ye shall receive power. And it's power for several things. Number one, it's certainly power for proclamation. How many get a little fearful when you're about to try and tell somebody about Jesus? Besides me. How many have knocked on a door and it sounded like this? Oh, they must not be home. I mean, I never put my ear to the door to hear if anybody was in there. Trust me, I never did that. But I knocked lightly before. It's almost like you're going, please help them not to be home, but help me to be able to say I did make a visit. Shame on us. But it's true. So the power for that doesn't come from us. It comes from God. Amen? He gives us the power to go and gives us the power to proclaim. But there's also the power to face adversity and the odds. Amen? It would do everybody in here a great deal of good if one time in their life their vacation was to a mission field where you could see what they really have to go through. Where when the phrase don't drink the water is said, they mean don't drink the water. Where the streets have a little gutter in the middle of the street where all human waste and every other kind of waste goes, and it's open and it's disease ridden. Missionaries die from those kind of things, as do the people in the nations they're visiting. Or where the worship is so foreign, so bad, that there are literally witch doctors that go and capture a whole town or region or a group of individuals living in a particular area and have them bound in sin's dark night. My dear friend, Wes Lane, was a missionary, is a missionary. He's in the Dominican now, built three churches in the Dominican. He's an incredible guy. He's a nut, but he's an incredible guy. He goes places where nobody else wants to go. He was in Haiti for 15 years, a long time. There was a region in Haiti that people just didn't go to. I mean, once you reached the end of this particular road, you didn't go farther. Number one, there were highwaymen that robbed you and killed you, took everything you had. There were witch doctors present there who cast spells on the people, and they died under satanic power. He went to this place, and people said, "We're not going with you." So he packed up his goods and went alone. First 2 days after he was there walking through the jungle, he got dysentery. He lost 21 pounds. When he arrived finally at the place where he is to be, they begged him to go and leave. "The witch doctor is coming tonight. If he finds out you were in our village, he will pray an incantation over us, and our children have died. Our children have disappeared. Please don't be here." There was a big tree in the city, one of only a handful. I mean, in that area of that group of people. And that was the witch doctor's tree. And they slaughtered chickens and put them out there for him. They slaughtered pig and hung it out there on that tree. It was obvious a place of worship for the witch doctor, and it was considered very sacred to him. So he left. He went home and got a 24-inch chainsaw. You got to know Wes. Put it on his back, put gas in it, went back. Walked into town and said, "Call the witch doctor. You come out here right now." And he boom, started that thing up, cut that tree down. Witch doctor went nuts. I mean, he blew up. He said all kinds of things to Wes. He prayed all kinds of incantations on him. He did all kinds of things. And Wes Lane looked at him and said, "Christ is more powerful than any god you have. I'm giving you," basically, he said, "I could give you the whole story." He said, "I'll give you 5 minutes to get out of Dodge." Whoa. He packed his goods and left, and they have never seen him since. A church of 400 instead is in that town today because of the power of the gospel. Now I ask you, what's more important than that? What is it that we need to do? Maybe we need to restructure. Maybe we need to decide that we're going to increase whatever it is we're giving. Maybe we need to open our hearts to God and say, "Maybe you would use me somewhere." Whatever it is. Can you think of a better thing than seeing one of our people or a family of our people or a husband and wife that said to us, "I believe God's called me"? You think of anything greater than that? You talk about having a party. We would have a party. God have a plan for missions? He did. It's right there in the New Testament. All we have to do is look for it. Now, are we going to apply the New Testament? We can live out the New Testament. That's what we have to do. That's our responsibility, to do what he tells us to do as best we can for his glory. Lord, help us. Father, there are millions that are lost around the world. There may be some sitting right in this auditorium who are lost. They don't know Jesus. Lord, they may come, but Father, they don't know you. They've never said, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior. I give myself up to you." Lord, it seems simple. It's a simple thing to say, but it costs Christ everything. Lord, would you just tender hearts? Number one, tender our heart toward the mission field. Number two, toward our responsibility in getting it done. And then to those who need you, tender their heart to coming to Christ. Help them see that this is a decision of decisions for them. It not only secures for them eternal life, a home in heaven, but a heavenly Father who loves them, and a Son who died for them, and grace that will provide them for everything they need. Lord, speak, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.